各书。
We will continue with the book of James.
我们今天要念第五节。
We will read verse 5.
雅各书第一章第五节。我们翻到了以后一同来念。我先念一遍，由你们大家一同开声念一遍。雅各书第一章第五节。你们中间若有缺少智慧的，应当求那厚赐于众人也不斥责人的上帝，主就必赐给他。大家一同来念。你们中间若有缺乏智慧的，也不斥责人的上帝，主就必赐给他。我们低头祷告。
Let us pray.
主啊，感谢你用你的恩爱吸引我们到你的面前，使我们可以继续不断在你的真理中间领受你自己的教训，明白我们需要的是什么。你生命之道喂养我们，使我们的灵性得到长进。我们恭敬把今天晚上的时间完全交托在你手里，你怎样赐福过去的聚会，你照样赐福今天的聚会。你怎样赐福过去参加聚会的人，照样赐福今天每一个到你面前来的。你说饥渴慕义的人就必得着饱足。如今我们如饥如渴，对主说，主啊，我们需要你，我们来到你的面前，我们等候你的话语。愿主你的真理自由运行在我们的思想中间，你的灵自由运行在我们生命中间。我们感谢赞美是奉主耶稣基督得胜的名求你，阿们。
阿们。
我们上一次已经思想到神的子民在撒支派中间，他们后来认识了耶稣基督。
Last time we have already mentioned how the 12 tribes began to learn about Jesus Christ.
这些人就离开了从前犹太人中间的狭窄的思想。
These people left the narrow thinking process of the Jews.
他们看见旧约所预言的弥赛亚就是在历史上道成肉身的主。
They recognize Jesus as the Messiah, God being incarnate.
所以他们就信他，勇敢称耶稣为主。
And they believe in him and boldly proclaim Jesus as Lord.
这样就开始使罗马帝国大大逼迫基督徒。
And because of that, there were great persecution against the Christians.
罗马帝国是最先采取一国两制的政府。
The Roman Empire was the first government to have two systems within one country.
犹太人绝对不肯退让，要称耶和华为主的时候。
When the Jews would insist that God is Lord.
这以罗马帝国所有的地区只能称凯撒为主，是一个完全不同的一个证据。
They would violate the demand that Caesar be made Lord.
不过呢，耶和华是看不见的。
But because God is invisible,
耶和华是在天上的。
And he resides in heaven.
耶和华是没有肉身的。
And he is not physical.
所以你称他为主，他根本没有办法抢夺凯撒的王位。
And so he is no threat to the throne of Caesar.
这样就让你这些民族，这些以色列人敬拜耶和华。
And the Roman Empire would allow the Jews to worship God in this manner.
但当他们发现一个称了耶稣的被称为主的时候，
But when they discover this person Jesus being proclaimed as Lord,
这是个有血肉的人，
He was a physical person.
这是在地上活过的人，
A person who lived on earth.
所以这是一个可能引起很大的战争，很大的这个政党的兴起来反对罗马帝国。
And so opposition could arise from among the people.
所以这样的罗马帝国就开始大大逼迫信耶稣、称耶稣为主的人。
And the Roman Empire went after all those who proclaimed Jesus as Lord.
这些人在旧约中间听了摩西的教训。
These people have heard the teachings of Moses.
领受了众先知的道理。
And received the teachings of all the prophets.
现在他们把旧约整个的信息跟耶稣基督把它连在一起。
When they joined all the teachings of the Old Testament with Jesus Christ.
这是犹太人中间真正被拣选的真选民。
They became the true chosen one among the chosen Jews.
啊，这些人又是对全世界有举足轻重作用的一群人。
And they are people that have important roles to play in the world.
耶稣亲自呼召他们，把传福音的使命 交在他们的手中。
Because Jesus called them out individually to give them the mandate of the gospel.
所以这些人的成功就是全世界福音工作的成功。
Their success would mean that there is a success in the spreading of the gospel.
这些人失败就是普世宣教的失败。
And if they should fail, then evangelism in the world would fail.
这些人的安危非常决定全世界天国的发展。
Their safety and their health is actually related to the whole expansion of the kingdom of God.
这些人受逼迫的时候
，when they were persecuted，
就危及了全世界福音工作的进展。
It is then a danger to the expansion of the gospel.
所以他们一定要坚固起来。
And so they have to be made strong.
一定要在患难中间坚强的站立岗位。
They have to stay firm where they are.
他们一定用行为表现他们的信仰。
With their action, they must demonstrate their faith.
所以这本书就一定要写下来。
And so this book was written.
这本书是告诉全世界的基督徒，信心跟行为一定要并行的。
This book tells all Christians of the world that faith and works must come together.
而行为的表现是真正领受真生命的记号。
And the works of our life is the true mark of a true life that we receive.
雅各书里面所讲的行为是信心之后的，不是信心之先的。
The works in the book of Acts is after faith, not before faith.
什么叫做信心之后呢？
What does that mean?
就是我们因信领受生命以后的表现。
It means that because of faith we receive a life, and because of that we manifest it.
这样人就因你的行为称你为义。
And people will recognize you as righteous because of your works.
保罗所讲的行为是救恩以前的。
But the apostle Paul talked about works before the grace of salvation.
是信心之外的。
Out of faith.
也就是犹太人中间一位行律法，就凭此功劳可以泛起得救的恩典的这种错误的行为观。
He was referring to the wrong concept of works that we can gain salvation by hard work.
所以当保罗说呢，人不能因行为称义是对的。
The apostle Paul therefore was right to say that it is not by works.
雅各说人要因行为称义也是对的。
But the apostle James was right to say we are made righteous by works.
我们的第二章会很专门的研讨这个问题。
We will go into detail in chapter 2.
那么这些犹太人中间的真被拣选的以色列人，
all these true Israelites that has been selected，
就是所有支派中间信耶稣基督称他为主的选民。
The chosen one among the 12 that proclaimed Jesus as Lord.
这些人不但有了纯正的信仰，
not only did they have pure faith,
他们更应当有最好的行为。
They probably have the best works.
最伟大的行为是在逼迫之中为主做见证的行为。
And the greatest work would be witnessing for the Lord in the midst of persecution.
雅各书一写下来，第一个信息就是患难中间的喜乐。
Therefore, the first message is the joy in the midst of suffering.
你们在患难中间要以为大喜乐。
Consider it great joy when you face trials of many kinds.
你们的信心经过试炼以后，
because after the testing of your faith,
你们就更完全。
You will be made perfect.
你们就更成熟。
You will be more mature.
你们也就更长进了。
And you would have grown.
那么这些人在苦难中间，
in the midst of their suffering,
他们得到这样的信息，他们就得了坚固。
These people were strengthened by the messages they received.
当雅各讲完了这个最重要的题目，
after James finished this theme,
他突然间出现一句话，在第五节。
Verse 5 suddenly appeared.
你们中间若有人缺少智慧，就应当向上帝求。
If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God.
那我最近几年发现了许多时候，圣经突然出现一节与前后没有关联的话语的时候。
For the past few years, I noticed that whenever a sudden verse seems to appear,
到底是发生了什么事情？
The question is, what then happened?
是不是作者是凭着他的爱好随便选题目来写？
Was it because the author has just put in a verse based on what he likes?
这些作者的思想里面缺少这个系统的演进的这种策略和方法论的训练呢？
Or perhaps the author were not trained to think systematically.
结果我发现都不是的。
But I discovered this was not the case.
因为圣经本身不是一种逻辑的书。
The Bible is not a book of logic alone.
圣经也不是专照着系统的策略写下来的书。
It is not also written by a strategic logic.
所以我们先找到圣经是哪一种文学的定位。
We must first find the definition of the Bible in literary terms.
然后才能解决这个问题。
And then we can solve the problem.
圣经无论旧约无论新约都告诉我们这是生命的道。
Both the Old and the New Testament proclaim itself to be the Word of Life.
甚至箴言说，这个智慧人的言语就是生命树。
The Proverbs tells us that the words of the wise is the tree of life.
所以我们要从生命的道这个眼光来看圣经。
And so we need to look at the Bible as the word of life.
从生命的原则来解经。
From the principle of life, we need to study the Bible.
生命一定包含系统，系统不一定有生命。
Therefore, life contains a system, but a system may not have life.
所以圣经的道既然是生命的道，圣经的道就有超系统的生命本质。
And since the Bible is the word of life, it will have a system that surpasses life.
正像我们的身体里面最少有七大系统。
It's like in our body there are at least seven major systems.
有循环系统，有这个神经系统，有消化系统，有生殖系统等等的系统。
Many different systems, circulation, digestive, or all kinds of systems.
中国人又找到一个西方医学没有的系统，叫做经络系统，所以可以针灸。
And Chinese have found the acupuncture system.
所以这个是一个超越系统的生命。
This is a life that surpasses systems.
生命的道既然是生命之道。
Since the Bible is the word of life,
我们不能完全照抄西方神学的系统方法论来研究圣经。
We cannot study the Bible based on a systematic manner that we copy from the West.
我们要用生命的原理来明白圣经。
We need to understand the Bible with the principles of life.
所以我就经常给你们提出了有机神学的这个大前提。
And so I've often mentioned the word organic theology.
那么有机神学所包含的是那个生命里面隐藏着的部分跟部分的关联。
Organic theology refers to the relationship between lives.
圣讲这个桌子跟那个钢琴在组织上完全没有关联。
For example, this table has no relationship with the piano.
但我的鼻子跟我的肺有功用上的关联。
But my nose and my lung have an organic relationship.
我的脚趾跟我的大脑有神经联系的关联。
And my toe is connected to my brain with a nerve.
我的皮肤跟我的血液的流通之间有一种生命供应的关联。
My skin is also related organically with the circulation of my blood.
超越了系统与系统之间的关系。
These have surpasses the relationship between systems.
每一次突然的一节圣经出现的时候，
so sometimes when a verse looks sudden,
我们要从这个方法论去找到生命之间的关系是什么。
From this angle, we want to see the relationship with life.
为什么大患难中间的时候，你们要以为大喜乐？
Why are you to have great joy in the midst of great suffering?
知道试验会产生忍耐。
Because you know your faith will develop perseverance.
忍耐也要成功。
Perseverance must finish its work.
经过试验之后，你们就成全了。
That you may be mature and complete.
所以这个知识就把试验跟盼望把它连起来了。
And so this knowledge joins experience with hope.
那么第五节为什么说你们中间若有人缺乏智慧呢？
And then in verse 5, why is the word wisdom appearing?
这里的出现，
the appearance of the word wisdom
就提到人在患难中间一个很特殊的觉悟。
Tells us a very special awakening in the midst of suffering.
一个人在顺利的时候，
when a person has a smooth journey,
常常以为自己很聪明。
Very often we think of ourselves as intelligent.
一个人在成功的时候，
when we succeed,
常常发现功劳就在他里面。
We always think that we are the one that make it work.
一个人在富有的时候，
when we are rich,
感觉他不需要别人给他任何的劝勉。
We often think that we need not receive any advice.
所以总的原则来说，
from a general principle,
人在顺利成功的道路中间，
in a smooth journey of success,
都认为智慧是足够充足的。
We always think of ourselves as sufficiently wise.
自己足够智慧呢，他就不需要有别人的帮助了。
So we need not have other help.
那什么时候人们感到自己不够智慧呢？
When do we think we are not wise enough?
就是当患难折磨逼迫的日子来到的时候。
It is when the days of suffering and persecution arise.
贫穷困苦围绕着我们。
When poverty and difficulties come.
那我们想尽各样的办法都不能驱除这些的困境。
When we try our best and we cannot solve the problem.
我们就开始谦卑下来，谦卑承认自己不够智慧。
We will begin to become humble and admit that we are not wise.
失去的人堕落有生命的一个现象。
This is the mark of a fallen life.
许多青年人充满自信。
Many young people are very confident.
无论立志，无论计划，无论做事，无论奋斗。
They are confident in their plans, their determination in the way they live life.
他们就有过分的自信，面对各样的苦难。
They will face persecution and difficulty with overconfidence.
在这样的时刻中间, 你对他讲什么, 他都不听。
At this moment, no matter what you say, they won't listen to you.
前人的劝告, 前人的见解, 他也不睬。
Words of the wise and the ancients will be cast aside.
有人把经验告诉他, 被他轻看。
When somebody will share experiences, they will look down on
them. 这是人在年轻的时候, 常常犯的毛病。
This is a problem that many young people would have.
自以为义, 自以为智慧。
We are self-righteous and we think of ourselves as wise.
过分的自信。
Because we have overconfidence.
过分的自信就产生了对困难的轻看藐视。
It will produce a state of despise towards suffering.
产生了对想象的绝对美化。
And we beautify things that are in our imagination.
加上了我们就许多没有经验所产生的错误的苦际。
And then we also have many kind of wrong strategy because we are not
experienced.
When all these things
全部归纳起来,
come together, we will surely fail.
这几句话不但在属灵的事情上是如此,
not only is this the case on spiritual matters,
在你们投资做生意的事情上也是如此,
it is also in the case of investment and businesses.
我们一谈到钱, 很多人就开始注意听了。
When we talk about money, everybody start to wake up.
特别是中国人,
especially the Chinese.
好像混作就是为钱, 不然就要死掉一样。
As if we live only for money.
有很多人做生意失败, 为什么呢?
Why would many people fail in businesses?
It's overconfident.
Firstly, they are overconfident.
They are despise all problems.
第二就是把困难看低。
第三, reject the experience of others.
然后抗拒别人的这个经验。
然后就选地点, 选投资的时候, miss location.
然后找错地方来做投资。
以后呢, miscalculate.
然后也算错。
Miss strategy.
那个策略也错。
Miss attitude.
那个态度也错。
这些加起来就一定要失败。
So surely you must fail.
失败以后呢,
after you fail,
开始认识自己不过是人,
we start to realize we are about a human being and not God.
不得不承认自己缺乏智慧, 需要更多学习别人的东西。
We have no choice but to admit that we are not wise and we need to learn more.
最近一个人把几年过做的半死的储蓄, 拿去投资一件事情。
Recently, someone used the lifelong savings.
早上9点做的晚上11点。
He had been working from morning 9 to
11,
and saved all his life and he used it for investment.
他只用美化自己的理想,
he made everything idealized.
只有绝对化自己的估计,
he thought of his calculation as absolute.
所以什么人的话他都不听,
he did not listen to advice.
什么的劝勉他都不要,
or any persuasion.
我已经拼命做了这么久, 得了这个钱, 我一投资一定会成功, 你们为什么拦阻, 你们为什么要给我困难呢?
Because I've worked so hard, so surely I will succeed. Why are you stopping me?
结果三个月里面所有的本钱全军覆没。
But within 3 months, he lost everything.
以后呢我对他说,
and then I said to him,
我早就告诉你你可能会失败。
I've already told you that you may fail.
那个时候你回答说你等着看, 成功我就给你看。
But back then you said, well, I will surely succeed. Just wait and see.
我没有对他讲话。
I didn't continue.
因为我知道被火烧, 知道痛是每一代自己要闪过一次才修得来的。
Because I know that all generations have to go through the burnt of the fire.
哎呀有火啊,不要靠近, 很热, 没有用, 让它碰一碰, 就知道什么叫做热。
It is not enough to tell people that it's very hot, the person has to experience it.
也有很多的定义, 不是字典给你的, 是你的经历给你。
And many people have experienced and it becomes a definition in their life.
不多讲话,
I did not say more.
失败完了以后呢,
after the failure,
他最近对我讲一句话,
this person came back and told me,
我应该多多听老人家的话,
I should have listened to the older folks.
因为我过去很笨,
because in the past I was silly.
我说, 啊, 你第一次讲你很笨, 我第一次听到的。
I said, well, this first time I hear you say you're stupid.
那么过去你有没有感到自己笨呢?
In the past, did you think of yourself as stupid?
他回答得很好,
he had a good answer.
过去我就笨在不知道自己笨。
He said, in the past, I was stupid in the sense that I didn't know I'm stupid.
现在我知道我过去笨,
now that I know,
那好不好啊?
Is this a good thing?
还不好。
I said, not
为什么呢?
Good enough. Why?
因为你知道过去笨, 表示你知道现在聪明, 以后再感到自己笨的, 你又会失败第二次。
Because if you think of yourself as wise now, in the future, you may fail again.
你看历史是这样记下来的。
This is the way history record our life.
记载人付了许多不应当付的代价。
That we have paid many unwanted price.
记载人走了许多人不应当走的冤枉路。
And that we have gone to many pathways that we ought not to be.
冤枉路浪费时间，浪费精力。
It will waste our time and our energy.
我从小很注意看蚂蚁的动作。
Since I was young, I have been observing the ants.
因为这是圣经吩咐我们懒惰的人啊，你要察看蚂蚁的动作。我不懒惰，我都要看，何况懒惰的更要看。
The Bible says those who are lazy ought to observe the ants.
有一次我看到一大队的蚂蚁，就走走走，走了一大圈，就回到原来地方差两寸的地方，又再走。
Once I saw this whole row of ants moving one big round back to square one.
我很想对他说：“这边走快一点，不必绕一大圈。”他不懂国语，没办法。
I wanted to tell them to take a shortcut.
那这个呢，就是他绕了一大圈冤枉的路。
They went one big round just to get back to the same place.
很多很多人一生在走冤枉路而不自救。
Many people are doing the same thing without knowing it.
所以到底笨在哪里呢？
Where is the stupidity then?
笨在不知道自己笨。
The stupidity is in the ignorance of stupidity.
错在哪里呢？
Where is the error?
错在不知道自己错。
The error is in not recognizing your errors.
你浪费在哪里呢？
Where is the waste?
浪费在自己不知道自己在浪费。
The waste is that you do not know that you're wasting.
你危险在哪里呢？
Where is the crisis?
危险在不知道自己在危险中间。
The crisis is the ignorance of crisis.
所以当一个人真正觉悟的时候，
When a person truly awakens,
这就是他的起点。
This will be a new beginning.
在困难中间，
in the midst of suffering,
在失败中间，
in the midst of failure,
在痛苦中间，
in the midst of pain,
还没有救到自己缺乏智慧的人是一个真正没有智慧的人。
If you do not know that you lack wisdom, then you truly have no wisdom.
那当然，我是借助这个题目给大家谈一些平常的现象。
Of course, by this theme, I am explaining normal things.
上帝许多时候给我们逼迫，给我们困难，给我们遇到许多的逆境。
Very often, God will allow persecution, difficulties, and hard times.
不是他故意要危害我们。
Not that He wanted to harm us.
许多时候，上帝是故意让我们在苦难中间发现自己是不够智慧。
Very often, He wants us to find out that we do not have enough wisdom.
所以这句话就在这里出现了。
And so this verse appeared.
当犹太人信主又遇到更多的逼迫的时候，
When the Jews encounter more persecution after they believe,
他们没有办法靠自己力量解脱这一切。
By their own strength, they cannot solve the problem.
所以他们就知道自己需要从神而来的帮助。
So they know they need help from above.
他们的信仰没有问题。
They had good faith.
他们的灵性没有问题。
They had good spirituality.
他们的动机也没有问题。
They had good motive.
但是他们今天竟然在神的许可之下遇到很大的患难。
But God has allowed great persecution to come.
所以他们需要求更多的智慧。
So they needed greater wisdom.
这就是真正智慧的开始。
This is where true wisdom begins.
谁是有真智慧的人呢？
Who are the people with true wisdom?
就是那些突然发现自己不够智慧的人，是有真智慧的。
They are those who suddenly discover they are not wise enough.
这种反合性的复为因果的这个果效。
This is a paradoxical situation.
就是人的长进的规律。
And this is the rule of life for us to grow.
一个有学问的人常常感到自己不够学问。
A person who is knowledgeable would think of himself as not knowledgeable.
所以他就有更多有学问的可能在里面。
Because of that, it is possible for him to become even more knowledgeable.
一个谦卑的人之所以是会谦卑。
A humble person is humble.
因为常常感到自己不够谦卑是他的亏欠。
Precisely because he always think of himself as not humble enough.
一个灵性会长进的人。
A person who grows spiritually.
他为什么会长进呢？
Why would he grow?
因为常常感到自己不够长进，所以一定要长进，所以他就长进。
Because he think of himself as not growing, so he want to grow.
一个智慧人也是如此。
This is the case for a wise person.
一个真正有智慧的人。
A truly wise person.
在自己看自己有一些智慧之外，
other than the fact that he has a little bit of wisdom,
他已经发现了更大的可能性，有更多的人是比他更有智慧。
He would have discovered greater possibility and other wiser persons.
他从来不以自己所有的为满足。
He would not be satisfied with what he already had.
从来不停止在已经成就的地位。
And he would not stop at his accomplishment.
这种无穷无尽的追求。
There is an endless seeking.
就是真正的智慧。
This is true wisdom then.
就是真正的谦卑。
True humility.
就是真正长进的开始。
The beginning of true growth.
无论在哪一个阶层、哪一个范围中间的人，都是同样的情形。
This is the same situation for anyone in any situation.
教会里面也是如此。
The case in the church.
有一些基督徒听了道，再听，结果发现自己不够，就一生一世所有好的聚会，很怕没有再尝。
Some Christians listen to sermon and think that they are lacking, and so they always go for the best gathering.
有一些基督徒，你问他说，到过教会，我去过好几次了。
Some Christians say, "Well, I've been to many churches."
所以他的好几次是比较大声、比较重的音，因为他感到那好几次就是很多很多次。
Or that I've gone to church many times, as if the many times is very important.
有的牧师到死以前还在看书、还在思考、还在追求。
Some pastor before they die, they are still learning, they are still studying.
有一些神学生刚刚毕业那一天下午就把他所有的书都卖掉了。
But some seminary students will sell all their books on the very day of their graduation.
因为我是毕业了。
Because I have finished.
有的人当成毕生要追求的事业，有的当成今现在已经毕了业的一个传道人。
Some pastor would think that their entire life is a learning process, but some will end their graduation.
真正的智慧
True wisdom then
是从感到自己不够智慧开始
comes when you think that you do not have enough wisdom.
真正的追求
True seeking
是感到自己不够追求内疚开始
comes when you feel a sense of regret that you don't have enough.
2500年以前
2500 years ago
人家说呢，苏格拉底是全希腊最聪明的人。
Socrates was considered the wisest in Greek.
Delphi 神庙的一个祭司也讲了这句话。
And a priest in the temple of Delphi said this.
他说苏格拉底是当代最有学问、最聪明的人。
He said Socrates would be the most wise in our generation.
苏格拉底自己怎么讲呢
？And Socrates himself said.
他说我什么事都不知道，只知道一件事。
He said I know nothing except one thing.
你说我们要用笔把它抄下来吗
？Should we quickly record down?
他是世界最聪明的人。他什么都不知道，只知道一件就最聪明了。那我一定要知道那一件是什么。
Surely we want to know what one thing he knows.
好，你说苏格拉底啊，什么事是唯一的一件你知道的？请你告诉我好不好
？So you will say, Socrates, tell me what's this one thing that you know.
苏格拉底说，我什么都不知道，只知道一件事，那一件事就是。
Socrates said, I know nothing except this one thing, and this one thing
就是什么？
And you write it out.
就是我什么都不知道。
And he said, the one thing is that I do not know anything.
知道的唯一的一件事，就是他什么都不知道，就是这一件事。
He only know one thing that he didn't know anything.
西方哲学就从这里开始。
This is where Western philosophy started.
苏格拉底是你读哲学不可不认识的一个人。
Socrates would be a person you must study in philosophy.
苏格拉底方法论是从零开始。
His methodology starts from zero.
从知之及之，不知而求之的知。
This is a knowledge that comes from a lacking of knowledge of the self.
真正感到自己一无所知的人是容易吸收知识的。
When we think of ourselves as ignorant, it is easy for us to absorb knowledge.
为什么逻辑、为什么哲学的追求是在西方比东方更进步呢
？Why would the West be better in this seeking of logic?
东方的伦理哲学是很高超的。
In the East, we have profound ethical studies.
但是除了伦理哲学以外，哲学的其他部门在东方是停顿了很久很久的。
But in the East, other departments of philosophy has stopped for many years.
那么苏格拉底因为感到自己无知，就成了建造知识的开端。
Socrates think of himself as ignorant, and that is why he started building knowledge.
西方历史里面对时间的解释最有突破性的人是奥古斯丁。
Augustine was the person that gave the best explanation towards the concept of time.
奥古斯丁以前
，before Augustine，
西方的时间观是好像轮回式的时间观。
The concept of the West with regard to time is a cyclical one.
在东方的时间观也是周而复始，春夏秋冬，继续不断，团团转。的时间观。
It is also similar in the East, where we think of time as a cyclical, seasonal one.
希腊的 cycle, 希腊的这个周而复始是有向上的螺旋式的那种弹性的向上的时间观。
In the Greek understanding, time spiral upwards.
东方就是周而复始。团团转，没有继续不断向上的那种时间观。
But in the East, the concept is just cyclical without moving anywhere.
所以无论西方的文化，无论东方的宗教哲学
，whether it's in the East or religious philosophy in the East,
都没有足够的长进。
Both has certain growth.
夏商周一直下来
，from the different dynasty in China.
到了中国的孔子集大成，把古人的学说变成一套完整的学问以后
，till the time Confucius gathered all the thinking of the ancients,
就没有什么突破了。
there is no other breakthrough.
西方也是如此。
This is the case in the West.
希腊的哲学从宇宙论形上就转到人生哲学，到主后四百年也没有什么再长进。
The West had the understanding of metaphysical reality of the cosmos until AD 400.
但是北非的奥古斯丁就给我们一个新的刺激。
But Augustine from North Africa gave us a new breakthrough.
这个刺激就是对时间观的认知。
This is because he had an understanding of time.
奥古斯丁的时间观是从哪里得到启发的呢？
Where did Augustine get his inspiration from?
是从圣经上帝的启示得到启发的。
It came from the revelation of the word of God.
上帝说你把什么神比我？你把我跟哪一个假神相比呢？
God said with which false god and idols would you compare me to?
有哪一个神像我一样的？
Which god and idol is like me?
从起初知明幕后的事。
Who will show things that are to come from the beginning?
这些话是刺激了奥古斯丁。
These words inspired Augustine.
他是第一次的人类历史中间把时间用直线进行一去不返的观念来解释。
In the history of mankind, he was the first to propose that time is a straight line with no return.
那么团团转的时间观。
Those aspiring and cyclical concept of time,
跟一去不回的直线进行的时间观有什么不同呢？
What is the difference between that compared to this idea of time as a straight line?
产生了人对时机的爱心。
It produces this treasuring of time.
产生了人对永恒的向往。
And
the
admiration for the future and the hope.
产生了那个历史中间的责任感的这几个最重大的观念。
That we will have serious sense of responsibility in history.
所以我告诉你是神学影响了哲学。
And so theology influenced philosophy.
哲学影响了人类学。
And philosophy influenced sociology.
影响了伦理学。
And also ethics.
影响了所有科技的成就。
And all scientific advancements.
这个观念呢，这几句话应该用一个专题来讲座，不是今天我们有限的时间可以讲清楚的。
All these things that I've just said can actually be another theme by itself.
请你注意听下面的这些话。
But take note of what I'm about to say.
如果是周而复始的做错了，不要紧，以后还有机会。
If time is cyclical, there's always another opportunity.
这一次结婚失败了，再结几次也不要紧。
If I fail in my marriage, well, I can always get remarried.
所以在周而复始的时间观念中间，文化很难长进。
A culture, it's difficult to become more advanced if the concept of time is cyclical.
但是直线进行一次不凡，从今生到永生的唯一的方向，就产生了历史的责任感。
But this concept of time being a straight line will produce the responsibility in history.
所以我所拥有的时刻都是唯一的一次。去了没有了，再去没有了，一直去没有了。当我用尽我今生的这个有限时刻的时候，我就向永恒交账，绝对没有办法逃避。
Every moment of my life that I use is the end, and there is no more to come, and I have to be responsible at the end of my time.
我应该怎样爱惜此时此刻
？It will force me to treasure this very moment.
我要怎样尽量利用我这一刹那？
And it will force me to ask myself how best to make use of this instance.
我怎样负责把这一刹那的价值带到永恒的交代中间去
？How should I be responsible to bring the value of this moment into eternity?
神的创造论有神的价值观跟时间与神之间永恒的关系，这些就刺激了西方文化科技的发展。
All this concept of creation, of the existence of God, and how line, time is a straight line, influenced the development of philosophy.
这从什么时候开始呢？
When did it start?
从奥古斯丁开始。
From the time of Augustine.
奥古斯丁从哪里得到灵感的呢？
Where did he get the inspiration?
从圣经得到灵感。
From the Bible.
所以，如果人对你说圣经很重要，很重要，我不知道他所讲的很重要，到底是怎样重要。
Many people say the Bible is important, but I don't know whether they understand what the importance is.
每次我讲的圣经的伟大、圣经的重要性的，我心灵深处是深深明白它的根源、它的影响、它的价值的基础到底是怎样明白的。
But whenever I say that the Bible is important, deep in my heart, I know for certain where the sources, the influences, and the impact on human civilization.
所以奥古斯丁是人类历史中间很独特的一个人。
Augustine was a unique person in the history of man.
他不但刺激了神学，也刺激了哲学，跟刺激了这个科学，刺激了整个人类历史中间 价值观的肯定。
He had great influence towards theology, philosophy, and also the scientific world and the value system of the world.
奥古斯丁是第一个把时间用这些进行的方式解释出来的人。
He was the first person to explain time as a straight line of no return.
这个最了解时间的人，也是自己说最不明白时间的人。
But this person who understood time also professed that he did not understand time.
所以他的著作里面有一些的名语。
There are important quotations in among his words.
名言
The important words.
其中有一句这么说
One of which says,
如果你不问我，我就以为我早就知道什么叫做时间了。
If you do not ask me, I would have thought that I know about time.
但如果你问我，奥古斯丁，时间到底是什么？我给你一问，就发现我从来不明白什么叫做时间。
But once you ask me what time is, I will suddenly realize that I do not know.
哦，你看见很奥秘吗
？It is mysterious.
真有智慧的人。就像苏格拉底感到自己一无所知。
A truly wise person like Socrates would have thought himself as ignorant.
真正解释时间意义的人，对我们说，他对时间一无所知。
And this person that had a breakthrough concept of time tells us that he knows nothing about time.
所以这里好像隐藏着，不是知为知，不知为不知，是不知者是知，知者是不知。
This is very paradoxical. The person who knows thinks that he's ignorant.
我们今天很多事情以为自己很有智慧。
But today, many of us think of ourselves as wise.
这就是我们愚笨的开始。
This is the beginning of our stupidity.
我们今天以为我们自己很多知识。
Many of us think we are full of knowledge.
这就是我们无知的自败。
This is self-defeating ignorance.
所以圣经这句话是对的。
And so this verse is correct.
你们中间若有人缺少智慧。
If any of you lacks wisdom.
这句话不是简单的一句话。
It is not just a simple statement.
这句话是智慧人对自我的无知的了解。
This is when the wise understood his own ignorance.
所以自我的无知的觉悟就是智慧人的特征。
And this is the mark of the wise when he understands his own ignorance.
那么如果你缺乏智慧怎么办呢？
If you lack wisdom, what should you do then?
你要向哪里去求取智慧呢？
Where should you find this wisdom?
这里绝对不是讲若有人缺乏知识就可以到耶鲁大学去，不是这样讲。
Here he didn't say if you lack knowledge, then go to Yale.
如果人自己感到自己缺乏知识理论，就到新加坡国立大学去读几科书，不是这个讲。
It's not that you should go to NUS to study a few courses.
这里告诉你，你缺乏智慧。
But here it refers to wisdom.
缺乏智慧跟缺乏知识是完全不同的两件事情。
Lacking wisdom is different from lacking knowledge.
知识可以听听，可以看看。可以读书，可以到学校去搞学分得来的。
You can get knowledge from reading, from studying, from going to school.
但是智慧绝对与知识不同范围。
But wisdom is completely different from knowledge.
在不同的范围里面就有不同的性质。
There are different nature.
我小的时候看到人家卖冰的，在冰的四周围就放很多盐，因为盐在冰的旁边会使冰更冷、更结冰。
When I was young, I noticed that people who sell ice would sprinkle salt because it would preserve the ice.
所以呢，我有一次到多伦多看见下大雪的时候，他们也放盐，因为盐一来，雪不能成为雪，就融化变成水。
And in Toronto, I saw that people sprinkle salt so that snow will become water.
所以我小的时候想，冰和雪是一样，雪和冰一样。等大了，我才知道，冰不是雪，雪不是冰。
When I was young, I thought ice and snow are the same thing, but then they are not.
冰块四周放盐，它就结得更冰更冷。
When you sprinkle ice of salt on ice, they will congregate and become
stronger. 雪花碰到盐，马上暖起来，它就马上融化掉。
But snow will be melted by salt.
雪不是冰，冰不是雪。把冰弄成像雪的是刨冰的人，把它弄成像雪一样。
Only when you try to shave the ice will it look like snow.
所以知识不是智慧，智慧不是知识。
And so knowledge is not the same as wisdom.
有的人智慧一大堆，知识不太多。
Some people are very wise but not knowledgeable.
有的人呢，知识一大堆，智慧完全没有。
But some people are very knowledgeable and not wise.
所以呢，当哲学教育博士教孩子教不成功的时候
，So when a professor in education fail in educating their own children，
乡下老太婆没有读过书的孩子，个个读到变成博士。
A village grandmother may have grandchildren that have graduated with PhDs。
所以知识的教授教不出好孩子，因为他有知识没有智慧。
A knowledgeable professor may not be a good parent because he is not wise。
没有读书的乡下婆没有知识， 但是她有智慧，把孩子各个教的成功。
But an illiterate grandmother may not be knowledgeable, but is wise.
智慧不是知识，知识不是智慧。
So wisdom is not the same as knowledge.
我去年的新年已经对你们讲了三次关于智慧的问题。
And last year during the New Year, I already spoken three times about wisdom.
其中的几句话，我再重复一次。
There are a few things that I want to repeat.
智慧是知识的根基，知识是智慧的建造。
Wisdom is the foundation of knowledge, and knowledge is the building up of wisdom.
智慧是知识的方向，知识是智慧的内容。
Wisdom is the direction of knowledge, and knowledge is the content of wisdom.
智慧是知识的本质，而知识是智慧的现象。
And wisdom is the content of knowledge, and knowledge is the phenomena of wisdom.
我们不能大大向上建造，而浮流向下根基。
We cannot keep building upwards without a firm foundation.
我们不能注意我们整辆车里面设备齐全，汽油丰富，我们的财货也丰丰足足，但是不知道这辆车要开到哪里去。
We cannot have a car that is fully equipped but not knowing where it is supposed to go.
我们不能看现象外表这么美，就忽略了里面本质已经粉碎。
We cannot look at a beautiful exterior and ignore the fact that it's decaying inside.
智慧是知识的根源。
Wisdom is the foundation of knowledge.
智慧是知识的方向盘。
It is the direction of knowledge.
智慧是知识里面应当有的真正结实的本质。
It is the true essence of knowledge.
那么我用怎么样再把这个比喻的更清楚呢？
How then can I illustrate this better?
如果你睡觉的人把你抱走，把你带到一个大树林中间，把你丢在里面。
If in the midst of your sleep, someone abandoned you in the forest,
你醒过来的时候，
when you wake up,
发现一片漆黑，
you discover everywhere is dark,
树荫遮盖了阳光，
and the trees would have covered the sun.
东西南北各处都是树干树枝，完全没有天空可看见。
And you can only see trees without the sky.
那你说我要出来。
Then you say, I must come out.
我要从困惑中间出来。
And escape being lost.
我要从迷途中间出来。
From this constraint.
我要从没有方向中间出来。
From being directionless.
我要从大树林中间走回我的家。
I want to escape this great jungle.
那么你怎么走呢？
How would you move?
你向左走。
Do you move left?
你向右走。
All right.
向前走。
From the front,
向后走。
Or back.
你什么把握？你是走回家，或者走到更深的树林里面呢？
How do you know whether you're going home or going further into the jungle?
你说那怎么办呢？
Then what will you do?
所以这个时候呢，你发现，哎，感谢上帝，我里面有一张地图。
Oh, suddenly you found a map.
什么地图呢？
What sort of map?
就是这个大树林的地图。
The map of the forest.
好，我问你，这个地图可以把你从这个地方带回你的家吗？
Can the map then deliver you from the place?
能不能啊？
Yes or no?
能。
Yes.
不能。
No.
能不能？
Yes or no?
我问你啊，你现在感谢上帝，我有这张地图。
You say thanks be to God, I found a map.
清清楚楚的。
Clearly.
整个树林的地图都在这里。
It shows me the whole forest.
那我凭着这张地图，我就知道怎么回家了。
By using the map, I can.
能不能啊？
Is it possible?
能不能呢？
Yes or no?
能。
Yes.
如果没有地图才不能，对不对呢？
If you don't have a map,
没有地图你就盲目碰命运。
You will try blindly.
那有地图呢，你就知道有不同的方位，不同的这个树木在哪里，你可以慢慢找出来。
But with the map, you can find your way out.
但是这里有两个先要的条件。
But there are two criteria.
有地图够不够？
Is it enough to have a map?
不够。
Not enough.
要出来怎么样？
What would you do to escape?
有两个最先要的条件。
There are two things you need.
第一是什么？
Firstly,
我现在的地方是地图里面哪一点？
I must know where I am.
如果没有找到我这一点跟那一点的关联，我的生命没有保障跑出来。
Without knowing where I am, I will not be able to get out.
So where I am now?
现在在哪里？
Where is my spot?
在地图上是在哪里？
所以你点一点就是啊，在这里了。
If you say this is where I am,
旁边有个大树，就是这个。
This is the tree beside it.
后面的小河就是那个。
The small stream.
那么这个叫东，这个叫西。
This is east. This is west.
那我的城市是在东北的地方。
My city is in
the
northeast.
我就 start from this spot. I go.That direction.
所以从这里作为开始点，
所以
往那里去。
这是第一点。
This is the first.